Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A little Halloween theme music.
I like
this.
This
was by request, wasn't it?
Yeah. Who is this?
Creedence Clearwater.
Oh, CCR. Oh, yeah. I love it. I love it.
It's a good little, this is like a late night driving song.
No, this is good stuff. You know what else is good stuff? Yes, Thursdays at 9:05 when our man Bill Shanks joins us. You can catch Bill on thesuperstations.com. He's the host of the Bill Shanks Show. 93.1 FM in Macon, 98.3 FM in Warner Robins and South Central Georgia, and 105.9 FM in Warner Robins. And before we get to Bill, want to get, because I know we have a lot of folks that listen in, and we get questions to ask Bill. And if you're just joining us, want to let everybody know our big announcement from half an hour ago. 960 The Ref is now in the iTunes and the Google Store, so download the 960 The Ref app. And everyone has been sending us emails letting us know that they've downloaded the 960 The Ref app. This is the first time you've had a chance to do it, so we appreciate everybody checking in.
We're already getting those open mic things,
yeah,
which is awesome, by the way. I was just in Mean Heather's office, and she was showing me how it works. Now, we don't have access to all of it to put it on air yet.
But we're going to play one before the end of the show.
Okay, we will. We definitely will.
And it's first one we got.
There you go.
And it's a guy that emails all the time but has never, ever called in.
We're going to hear his voice.
We're going to hear his voice.
Wow.
He'll be the first one ever.
Awesome.
All right.
Hey,
the great Bill Shanks is with us. Hey, Bill.
Man, I love that app and the open mic thing. Y'all are in trouble now.
Yeah, we are.
Yes, sir.
We actually already blocked your app from sending us open we don't even bother, Bill.
Told the open mic feature is 30 seconds. So you can't ramble on like Led Zeppelin. You got 30 seconds.
Yeah, just send them back to back. You'll be okay.
That's right. That's right. Bill, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm at mile marker 68 on the always adventurous I-16.
Love it. I'll be on I-16 later today myself. Looking forward to that.
Well, hey, drive safely, sir.
Hey, Bill, are there a lot of people in Montreal that no longer stress 1994, or is this an all-Washington thing?
That's a good question. I wonder how the people in Montreal feel about this. I mean, they're so angling for another team to get to Montreal. I think they're going to get it at some point. That you wonder if they care anymore. That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, you would think there would still be some people that would have some concern and interest in that team and that franchise, but I don't know. That's a good question. It was a heck of a series, though.
Yeah.
It was shocking to see all the road wins. It's amazing. I talk all the time about home field advantage in the playoffs, and it meant absolutely nothing in this series.
You know, it's just like I was saying this to Logan. This might happen again in 2 years, or it won't happen again for 100 years.
Either or.
To see the road team win all 7 games. I mean, this is – it's the goofiest series of all time just for that. But it was a terrific series. But it just goes to show you how crazy the baseball postseason is compared to all the other sports.
You're right. It is so unpredictable. There are things that happen that just – you cannot explain, and it's a crapshoot. I mean, you know, people think that that's an excuse for teams that lose in October to talk about, but it is really a crapshoot, and who would have thought the Nationals, you know, you got to give them credit, though. They were so hot and played so well at the end of the year, and they just rode that all the way through the month of October, and they had a great month. I mean, they really did. They played great ball, and I still can't believe the bullpen they had, that they did that. I mean, Daniel Hudson certainly did give them stability there at the end, but they had so many bullpen problems throughout the year. But since that 19-31 start, they were just a different team, weren't they?
Well, if I'm doing the math correctly here, you bring up – so in their first 50 games, they hit rock bottom at 19-31. The rest of the regular season, they went 74-38. And then in the postseason, they went 12-5. So that means after that 19-31, they went 86-43. So basically 2-1. And I'll contend that this was the strongest wild card team that we've seen in the postseason since because of the finish that they had there over the last 100 and whatever games it is. But it also I'll say this too. This probably makes me appreciate a little bit more. And it was frustrating that the Braves only won the one World Series, but the fact that they did as well as they did in the postseason, maybe it makes you appreciate that a little bit more because of the crapshoot that the postseason is. And Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg went they won 8 of the, I guess, 12 postseason games that that Washington won. So you look at that, I mean, that's two-thirds out of those two guys. I think Strasburg, no one's gone 5-0, right, in the postseason. So I think he's the first one to do that. But it just makes you appreciate what you got in the starting rotation. And I know you're a SNIT guy, and I am too. I mean, I like him, but I just squirm a little bit when I think it's like, and I'm not saying Soroka is Scherzer or Strasburg yet. Hopefully he will be one day, but the fact that he didn't pitch until game 3, you know, just those kind of things, just, you know, you wish you could go back and change and all that kind of stuff, but that's what sports is about, you know, going back and, you know, being able to, you know, the old armchair quarterback thing. But that was a long intro into my question, and I apologize, because we actually had an emailer wanting to know, all right, so we're talking about starting pitching, Gerrit Cole's name comes up. And obviously that was a big deal last night. But what do you think about Gerrit Cole and how he could end up potentially being with someone like the Braves? Or will he end up being like a Yankee or something like that?
Well, the talk has been for a while that he's going to be in Southern California with the Angels. That they have a need for starting pitching. They have a lot of money to play with because Pujols' contract is almost up, and he's just a SoCal guy. You know, he went to UCLA, and it's been Angels or Yankees, I think, for a while that people have talked about. Those were the two possible destinations. I just don't see the price being in that category, being able to compete for a 9-year, 10-year, $270, $300 million deal. I don't think they're going to do that, and it's a shame that they can't compete in that category. They won't compete in that category. But I think it's going to be Angels or Yankees for him, and he's going to make a fortune. He was great. He was outstanding, and he is going to deserve that new contract for sure.
Hey, Bill, I need you to do me a favor. I'm a Braves guy. You're a Braves guy. Do me a just teach me or give me a reason to hate Juan Soto.
Well, he's going to hit home runs against the Braves for a long time.
That's true. That's
not enough to hate
him. The point of that is, and what I'm trying to say here is, watching this World Series, and I know he's a national, he's my rival, but Juan Soto, man, that guy is a heck of a ball player, and I'm looking forward to the next decade of him and Ronald Acuna, assuming they're going to be what we think they can be.
Absolutely. Those two players are going to control the National League East. You can talk about Bryce Harper all you want to, but these two are the ones that are going to really control this division, and they're outstanding talents. Soto is younger than Acuna, and he's been remarkable. He's just been amazing. He's just a great player, and they're going to be the primary players in this division for many years to come. Washington's got a great nucleus of talent. I mean, they got to deal with Rendon, and I don't think they're going to be able to keep him, which is stupid. But I just think he's going to get a deal from somewhere else. And if they may go after Josh Donaldson, I think they're a team to watch with Josh Donaldson, because they may not want to give Rendon his money, but they may give something to Donaldson. And they're going to be good for a while. I mean, they got Strasburg, who could opt out of his contract, and that's obviously a concern for them because they want to keep him. And they'll have Corbin and Scherzer for a while, but they got some work to do, but they still have – they have a lot of young talent, and it's going to be a great battle for the Braves next year for sure.
You taught me something the other night. I guess I just completely missed that the Braves drafted Anthony Rendon. Tell us that story, if you don't mind. It's not a good one.
Well, yeah, he was like a 26th, 27th round or something like that in 2008 or somewhere around there. Braves drafted him out of high school, and they loved him. I mean, I remember a scout calling me and saying, man, we got this kid down in the Houston area, and we really want to get him. And we think we got a chance at him, and they could not get the money from Terry McGuirk to be able to sign this guy. And that was before the restrictions were in place where you had to really follow set guidelines of how much money you give which player and how much money your pool was. They kind of had free reign at that point, and they didn't get the money. And Rendon went to Christ, and then couple of years later, obviously, was a very high draft pick. He got a lot of money to go to Washington. But it was something at the time that I remembered that just the player, because of how much they wanted that kid, and they didn't get him. And you know, it happens in baseball. It's something that happens. But when he turns out to be a star of this caliber, boy, it really does hurt. I mean, it's happened before. The Braves drafted Randy Johnson. I mean, they had Tom Seaver in the fold and had some snafu that allowed him to become a free agent, so things happen. But Rendon is a really good player who would have been a really good. He would have been the perfect next third baseman after Chipper Jones.
So you've already said you don't expect the Nationals to re-sign Rendon. Can the Braves be a player? And if not the Braves, then where will Rendon wind up?
Well, yeah, I think that Rendon is interesting, and I don't know how much he's going to get. I mean, he's going to get. I don't know. He's just going to get between 25 and 30 himself, and how many years. I mean, I think he's right. I think he said last night he hadn't turned 30 yet, so obviously that's a tremendous asset for him to have that time. I mean, I've heard Texas is a possible destination for him. You know, you wonder about the New York teams if they'll take a shot at him. I'm sure the Mets don't want to have Todd Frazier at third base anymore, and I mean, if I'm the Braves, I'd definitely talk to him. I think that's silly not to. But again, how far are they going to want to go with these free agents? They got a ton of money to spend. I mean, they've got until Monday to decide, or Monday or Tuesday, I think, to decide about the four free agents that they have the ability to offer the options to. And if they don't pick up those options, the Teron and Flowers and Markakis and Hamilton, they're going to have $75 million. So will they spend that on a big free agent like a Cole or a Rendon? I mean, I think it's unlikely based on what Alex and Topless said in the past, but you can't count them out of it because they do have the money to spend for sure.
We are talking with our man, the one, the only, Bill Shanks, and you're on your way to Amelia, you said, on your way to Jacksonville. How are you feeling about the game Saturday?
Yeah, we're doing our show from Fernandina Beach in Sliders today, and hope that your 805 guest will be able to join us. He's heading down there.
That's right.
So we're hoping Chipper will be able to join us this afternoon at Sliders. I think
he's
standing across the street from. So it should be fun. But yeah, you know, I feel good about it. I was hearing him talk about it earlier. I didn't know that stat about how the last 13 years the team has outrushed the opponent has won the game. Isn't that what he said, I believe?
Yeah. 13 years in a row, the team that ran for more yards won the game.
Well, I keep on going back to that. And like what Chip said about the stats, I mean, I just think I can't get away from the fact that Georgia's averaging 236 yards rushing per game and Florida 152. And, you know, if Georgia does that, if they average what they average and Florida averages what they average, this ain't going to be close. I mean, I know it's going to be tougher than that because Georgia's obviously had cupcake opponents, and this is the toughest opponent they've had. But you just say, all right, if Georgia outrushes Florida, how do they lose this game? Well, if they hand the ball over to Florida like they did against South Carolina, well, yeah, they'll lose the game. There's no doubt about that. But I feel good about it. I think Georgia has not played their best game yet. That you can look at that two ways, and obviously you hope that that means their next game is their best game. And you know, look, if they're going to do anything special this year, if this Saturday's their best game, next week better be their next best game because they've got to do that 5 weeks in a row to get to Atlanta and to have that special season. But you know, I like the matchup. I like the fact that Jake Fromm's only been sacked four times, and the pass protection's been there. You know, I can't wait to see our defense and how our secondary's going to be challenged, and how, you know, I want to see what Dan Mullen has up his sleeve and what he can do and what he thinks he can do and accomplish against this Georgia defense. But I feel good about it. I think it's going to be a great game, a good, close, tight game. It's a great matchup, I think. But, you know, and not still what Chip said, but, I mean, 1 through 85, Georgia's better. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to win. And I'm a little concerned about, as he was, about the intangibles. Because, you know, Chip, 2 years ago, I'll never forget this, Chip Towers came on my show and said, you know, this team has special intangibles that I haven't seen in a while for a Georgia team. And I think we saw that kind of manifest itself with how they got within an eyelash of a national championship. We don't know if this team this year has that intangible and has that special quality yet. We've got to see that this week. They've got to show us that this week. But the talent's there, and I think they've got to know what their opportunity is. They've got to know that their margin for error obviously has narrowed because of what happened in South Carolina, against South Carolina. And look, they got to feel, in a way, they got to have in their mind, if we lose this game Saturday, our season's over. I mean, what we wanted to accomplish in 2019 will be over, and we're going to be Outback Bowl bound, which is really bad. So they've got to know how important this game is, and I can't wait. I think it's a 2 years ago when Georgia beat the crap out of Florida, it was a lot of fun, and that we haven't had that a lot in the last 20, 25 years, but you know, you can't beat a matchup like this where two teams have played well all year long, and you just got a chance for a very good game.
Talking with Bill Shanks as the Dogs get set to take on Gator down in Jacksonville. And I see you're a South Georgia guy. We bring up and I know you work in, you know, right there on the Macon-Dixon line, but growing up as you did in South Georgia and close to Jacksonville, being from Waycross, I'm sure the argument about keeping the Georgia-Florida game in Jacksonville is much more heated down there than, and it's a good conversation up here too. And by the way, both sides have good points on this. It's not like there's necessarily a right or a wrong. It probably just depends on where you're from and kind of your thoughts on it. But what kind of feedback do you get on the Georgia-Florida game and the fact that it's been extended for a couple of more years down in Jacksonville?
Well, I think most people probably know where I'm going to stand on this, since I am from Wake Falls, South Georgia. I'm not very objective about it. And I think that probably keeps people from going against me a little bit on the topic. And you're right, there are sides and arguments, both sides, and points about it. I do not feel there's any recruiting disadvantage to this game at all. I know Kirby wants people and players to be in Athens every 2 years, but I think there's enough recruiting advantages to being on CBS and for those recruits to see the unbelievable event that is Georgia, Florida every October and November, and how big that event is. I mean, every game in college football is an event, but there's nothing like this. I mean, and look, I didn't go to Georgia, Florida until actually I got to college in Athens, and then I went to a game, believe it or not. I never went when I was growing up in Waycross, so no reason. I guess I was never invited, for crying out loud. But I saw the first 20 years of my life living in Waycross of how big this event is. I saw it on television every year. I know how important it is to the people in North Florida and South Georgia. And so I don't think it'll ever leave. As long as Jacksonville puts money on the table like they did for this deal, I don't think he'll ever leave. I don't think, you know, I thought for a while, all right, well, if you're going to move it and go Atlanta, Jacksonville, Athens, Gainesville, I just think that's stupid now. You know, I mean, you've either got to go Jacksonville or you got to go home and away. And I just,
amen.
First of all, I don't want to go to Gainesville. I have desire to go to Gainesville, Florida whatsoever. Only way I don't want to go to Gainesville is right through it to go to spring training. I think there are more advantages when the pros outweigh the cons. That's when you have to make a decision to keep it where it's at. And it is special. It is a special event. And you know, I tell people all the time, if you're not a Georgia or a Florida fan, you need to have that on your bucket list to go to Jacksonville because of how big of a deal the environment is. And if you love college football, that's just something you want to be a part of. And I know Athens is special. God knows I love it. I'm sure the people in Florida think Gainesville's special. But I think for this game and this matchup, this is where this game needs to be. It's always been there. There is something about history that does matter. There is something about tradition that does matter. And, you know, there is no harming of the program by having this game in Jacksonville, Florida. Kirby Smart is getting tremendous exposure by having this game on national television every year. And for people who see, especially the kids in Florida, who he may be recruiting, to see what it would be like to play in that game, oh, my God, I think if you're a recruit, you see the chance to go to Jacksonville. I mean, it's basically an in-season, regular-season bowl game. I mean, that's pretty fun. And so, I never wanted to leave, and I really don't think it will.
Excellent stuff, Bill. Well, drive safely.
Are you broadcasting live tomorrow somewhere on Amelia?
Yeah, both days, Logan. We're going to be at Sliders, corner of Sadler and Fletcher in Fernandina Beach. And, yeah, if you're down there, come by.
Yeah,
please come by. I hope you will.
I think my wife and I are going to have lunch there tomorrow, so we'll see you there.
We'll throw you on the air. We're
going to
have a bunch of people there, and we're really looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun.
Excellent.
All right, Bill. You're the best. We appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Thanks, staff. I can't wait. I'm going to be using that open mic a lot. So look
yes,
out.
Sir.
Wait.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, Bill Shanks.
I thought we blocked Bill.
Say what? Huh?
What?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.